My Father, we thank you again this morning for this precious book. Lord, without it, we'd have no reason to gather ourselves together in assembly like this. Thank you for preserving it for our day, that we know we can open the pages of this book and hear the very voice of God if he himself were here as we read these letters, these words, and it's in this book. And so we ask for the Holy Spirit to be able to use this frail body to get across to us something that's needed in our day as we look towards heaven and we're amazed at what we see and the God that we serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to give you the title of the message. I'm going to read two verses here, and then we'll go from there. In our particular day today, we have a lot of information that comes from a lot of different sources talking about how to understand God's guidance. How does God guide us? If I ask that question, by the way, that is the title of my message this morning. How does God guide us? Now, amazing thing about guidance is, if you listen today to the different voices, you've got as many variety of ways that God guides. It seems he's confused because he'll guide this. People say he guides this way, this way, and he guides this way, this way. I'm not talking about, I'm using that as just an illustration. This group this way, this group this way, this person this way. This group is entirely opposite this group. This person entirely opposite that group. Sound like he's confused to hear to talk about how God guides. You know, if God is going to guide, I would think he'd guide his way. Amen. And where am I going to find his way? This book. This is God's word about what he's doing in this particular life. So when we come down to the way, it amazes me. There's, like I say, there are some people that say God is guiding in this direction and God another guide in this direction. They are completely opposite of each other. There are some people who tell you that God guides them to go directly against the word of God. In other words, God will say do something or not do something. They say, but you know, God led me not to do that when he said do it or to do something when he said not do. I've had people tell me that. Certain things in their life, they say that God led them to do, which you knew was entirely contrary to Scripture. God will never lead you and I to do something contrary to Scripture. Because if he did, he'd lie. And the Bible says God cannot lie. Amen. So I'm here this morning asking you to give me your attention. Don't hang up on me until we get through. Don't make any type of decision until we get through. And we're going to talk a little bit about how God guides us. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in. It didn't say trust in the Lord part of the time. Didn't say trust in the Lord 75% of the time. Didn't say trust in the Lord just when you get in trouble. It says trust in the Lord with all thy heart. If I understand that, that means in everything. My heart, I want to be in tune with God. Then notice he said in this, lean not upon thy own understanding. Now, I believe that if we, anyone who would say God's leading in a direction don't understand how God leads, they're trying to bring God to the level to lead them in their understanding. This is a direct quote that God says through Solomon. Lean not on thy understanding. Why is that? Because if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, you'll find that God says through Paul to the church at Corinth that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. And if you look with me and turn there later as I turn quickly to read, he says in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because he says they are spiritually discerned. An unsaved man does not understand God's directions except towards Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he will take the gospel and point someone to Christ. That's what the gospel's about. But when it comes to other things, God said the natural man, the unsaved, unregenerate man, he says, receiveth not the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolish, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolish unto him. And can't you see that? You get talking about the Lord about something, and you hit something and say, I don't believe that. It don't even go my way. It don't even fit my criteria in life and so forth. Makes no doubt. Hey, I find a lot of things God said don't fit my criteria. Don't fit my life a lot of times, and I have to get it in line with him. So he said, lean not, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And I guess you have to do that if you're going to learn to lean on him and not on understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not upon thy own understanding. Then he says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy, whatever I do, can I acknowledge God in this? Would God be pleased with this? Would this be accepted before God? In all my ways, in all thy ways, speaking to us who are reading it, all thy ways acknowledge him. If you do that, the second verse of that verse, second part of that verse says, and he will direct thy paths. That's fairly positive language. It's understandable if I dissect it in a way and make it personal to me. I need this as much so as anyone, and you need this as much so as anyone. So how does God guide us? Now, to answer this particular question, you might say, by the Holy Spirit. And you would be right, because without the Holy Spirit, there is no guidance. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no understanding this book. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot even begin to understand the direction that God's going. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that means you're not saved. And if you're not saved, what God says is foolish, because it goes against the grain of the flesh. And so the Bible goes on. You know, this is true when we say led by the Holy Spirit of God. But the question is, when do you know that the Holy Spirit is leading you? We can say again, you know, how do you know, how is it you God, how does God guide us? By the Holy Spirit. But wait, when do we know that the Holy Spirit leads us? Because we got to know that too. And he's not left us ignorant with those things. There's much confusion about God's will today. And I believe that this is because most people do not understand how God really guides them. There's some things he says direct, thy shall and shall not. There's other things he lays principles for, which in turn ye base your life upon, and those principles are guidelines to guide us in making decisions and the image of God. You and I have a will. We can make a lot of decisions. We can decide to leave God out or let God be in. He'll allow that. He says we'll suffer the consequence. He'll allow that. Now, I believe that this is because most people, again, don't know how God actually guides. Their concept is a humanistic concept rather than biblical. Doing God's will does not come naturally. How do I know that? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, he tells us in verse 17, he simply says, now the works of the flesh, in 17 he said, now for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. Again, God's will doesn't come naturally to this body that's depraved, and to you and I who are born with the nature of Adam. And he's telling us, there's a battle going on, even for those who are saved. There is a tremendous battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. Now, I'll give you four quick points. How does God guide us? The first thing, I believe, we have to be careful how we seek solutions for life. How do you seek solutions for life? Even our Bible does not give us a clear answer to every question we have. In the last 51 years, I've had a lot of questions asked me, and still have a lot of questions asked me. And when a lot of questions are asked, the Bible does not give a clear cut, thou shalt and thou shalt not. So you have to lay out where you don't have that. Amazing thing in our day, it seems like people don't care about that, because whether he says thou shalt and shalt not, they're still not going to obey him. But when it comes to those things that are not thou shalt and thou shalt not, there's great principles that God gives us that will govern us to make decisions that he would consider be right for us. As we study the Bible shows us that if we do what God says, he will, in his own time and in his own way, make sure that we do not miss out what his plan is for us, that we do not miss out what his purpose is for us. I assure you that we will not miss out if we be what God wants us to be and approach the Scripture like God wants us to approach it, because we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand this Scripture. And you and I go against God, you go against the Holy Spirit that reveals things in this book, and there will be a consequence to it. I don't care if you're saved. There will be a consequence to it. Now, how does God guide us? Human methods to find God's will resorts to depression, desperation, frustration, guilt, uncertainty. When we use the humanistic thoughts that looks real, there will come a time that these things will show that they are frustrated, that they are great guilt with them, especially if it goes against the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, it describes what God will do for the person who trusts in Him. Trust in Him with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. And a lot of times it had to do because what the flesh wants to do. And He simply says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Notice again, who follows His principle? Those who follow His principle. Those who follow His word. When living for God, He says He will make sure that we keep on the right course. Now, one thing I'd have to see in verse 6 here, He said, all thy ways acknowledge Him. I'd have to know, what is acknowledging the Lord then? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. What does it mean to acknowledge Him? Well, there's a number of things we could say, but I know this. It means that I look at myself in the eyes of God through His word and realize that I need His help. I need His advice. I need His instructions. I need Him to inspire my heart in the direction that He would have me to go. But wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute now, preacher. Since God has given us a brain to think with, as you've been teaching for weeks now on Wednesday night and will be in the next few Wednesday night, God has given us a brain to think, and God has given us a brain to make decisions. Why is it so important to ask Him for help when making decisions when you're telling us we're in His image? Yeah, we're a fallen image, though. You cut off and done the way you're born in this world. When you're born physically, you don't have the Spirit of God. You have to be born again to get the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God comes in at that time and quickens us. And that's how we know that we are born into the family of God. So He created us. That's the reason He advised. He created us. Folks, He knows us better than we know ourselves. We think we know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So the question is this. Do we have, now that we're saved, do we have to live on a mountaintop in a monastery with shaven heads and praying 8 hours a day to show that we acknowledge God? No. God would rather have us live out where people can see us so they can see who He is, if we're living the life He wants us to be. Simple that. Yet there are some special ways that God does it, not that we can, that tells us to acknowledge Him. We acknowledge Him when we demonstrate trust in Him. That's what He said, trust in the Lord. We acknowledge Him when we demonstrate practicing in our life, what, as near as we can in this flesh, what He has to say. We don't have to say that we acknowledge Him. The life itself will either deny or acknowledge Him. We acknowledge Him when we submit to that which He says do. We acknowledge Him when we give ourselves to prayer. And I hope you do have a daily time of prayer. We acknowledge Him when we go to church. We acknowledge Him when we live obedience. I don't know of any other person that ever told us not to forsake ourselves, to assemble ourselves together except God. You say, well, other churches do that. But you see, religion copies things that sometimes that seems to work in people's lives, even though it may not be of God. But God does teach us not to forsake the assembly ourselves from assembling together when you go to the book of Hebrews. So we acknowledge Him when we demonstrate these things in our life. Now look in verse 5, He said, trust in the Lord. What's the word trust mean? I think Psalm 23, verse 1, David gives a good example of that. David knew that as he followed the Lord as a sheep, that again, God would lead him like a shepherd. And boy, you can study the sheep and shepherd and see how the shepherd works with the sheep and get an idea what God is talking about there. Sacred time, we won't. We look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. At 6 and 7, he says, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. I believe that's a type of submission. In Psalm 25, verse 9, God will guide, he said, the Bible said, God will guide the meek in judgment and teach him His ways. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said, simply this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know what is that good and perfect will of God. That's submitting to what He has to say. And praying, God, help me with the power that you have to understand what you said, and then with the power to be able to lead that. And then, of course, James 1:5 teaches us prayer is important when we talk about trust. If any of you lack wisdom, he said, let him ask of God in James 1, verse 5. So failure to ask God for directions can be a sign of arrogance from us in the body of flesh. Now, again, he says, if you look in Joshua 9, verse 14, it shows the danger of not asking God, because Israel at that time made a treaty with God, with people that God had said to destroy. God had told Israel, and not only that, Moses and Joshua, when led these people into the land they were going, he had said, there's certain people in there you've got to destroy. They're wicked people. This is a land I've given to you, and if you don't get them out, they're never going to change. By the way, God knows that. God knows where people listen to my voice now is ever going to change or not. He knows. He said, these people are not going to change. When you get in there, if you don't remove them out of the land, it's your land, I give it to you. If you don't remove them out of the land, he says, they will aggravate you and destroy you and get you to a place that you will sin against God. And by the way, they didn't remove them out of the land. And what God said did happen to Israel as time went on in that day. So how are we to guide, has God to guide us? We're not only to be careful how we seek solutions as far as in life, but we also let God give us all, know that God has given us all that's needed to make good, godly, correct decisions. You and I have in this book what God has given to make good, godly, correct decisions. God has no reason to give a guide to a person in one error if they refuse to obey God in another error. Why would God have to give a person, say, you know, I'd love to give you this, but I just gave you this, and you're not going to obey this? If you don't obey this, you won't obey this. And so there are instructions at times that God, when you hear something, there's a prick of the heart, there's a direction, there's a thought that leads into an idea and a concept, and suddenly you begin to look in a direction that you never thought of before, and for some reason don't fit where I'm at, and I erase it out. God allows us to do that. But same time, there's a consequence. We need to obey all his laws. We need to obey and understand his principles as near as possible. There's a lot of things we will not do. We don't know. There's some things we can't do because we don't seek the power to do it. But we should do everything we can in the like to please God as far as the flesh is concerned. You see, we all play games by rules. And all thing God is doing is giving us his set of rules for his game. Life is a purpose of God. It don't center around us. It centers around him. Rules, though, for games can be forgotten, or they can be misunderstood, or then just be ignored. But if you forget a rule, or someone challenges that you misunderstood a rule, or someone challenges that you ignored a rule completely, you got a rule book. There's not a game that's played that don't have a rule book. Somebody will have to go back to the rule book if there's something questioned. And the rule book becomes the final authority. I've got news for you. God has a rule book. It's called the Bible. So when there is division in different places, this has to be the rule book because that's what it's for. In life, the rule book is the final authority. In God's kingdom and word, the Bible itself is God's final authority. It's so important that God has preserved it for our day so we can know this is thus saith the Lord. In life, God has spelled out how we're to play the game. Yet it may not speak directly about everything, about every issue. You and I face a lot of things you can't find thus saith the Lord for it, but there's a principle for it. And growing in grace and knowledge helps you understand that to some degree in this particular life. So we need to know what the Bible clearly says, or at least how its principles are applied in situations of life. This is how God begins to lead us in a direction. We must be careful that we don't misuse his word. And same time, the more we know about God's word, the more quickly we can assess something and do what God wants to do. There's some things the Bible is very clear about. May I give you some? The Bible is very clear about worshiping God and not idols in Exodus 20. You go and read Exodus 20 and you'll find he's very clear about honoring your parents, young folks, from 6 in Ephesians chapter 6. He's very clear about thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not lust, thou shalt forgive others. Love God and your neighbor. Be holy, Peter said, as he is holy. Do not marry unbelievers, he says in 1 Corinthians. Help your brother that's in need. Do not steal. Be reconciled quickly to the person whom you have a dispute with. Tell the truth, Proverbs 12. I'm telling you, there's some things are precise God says do. And we either do them, we don't. But what about matters that are not so clear? What about things that no one can really prove? And I run across those sometimes. For instance, I've studied this Bible 51 years. I have not found one place that ever told me what TV program to watch. He said it happened that day. You think God didn't know he was going to have one day? He said, no, all his works from the beginning of time. I never found one place in here it said what kind of music I should listen to. I never found one place he said on Saturday night, you better not go this place, you better go this place. I never found one place it said when I go to the store, here's what you should buy and should not buy. Thou shalt buy this, thou shalt buy not buy this. Don't find that. But he gives them principles. He gives us some understanding that we can look at to analyze, then turn that we can know for sure. If I watch this, it'll please God. It won't displease him. I have a heart to understand what God wants. If I go here on Saturday night, it displeases God. If I go here, it does not. If I buy this at the store, it displeases God. If I don't buy this at the store, it doesn't displease God. What I'm saying to you, we're not left entirely to our own in any situation where there is a thou shalt and shall not. God sets forth many principles for us to use in our life if we'll study this book. The problem is, we don't study it. If I'd asked the question today, how many is even open this week to read it? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how God knows. How many has not only just opened it, but spent some time studying it, cause difference in studying and just reading. On the other hand, when you get down to these principles, there are some things that God says too. As a matter of fact, he doesn't give us exactly certain, but he lays foundation in what the end results would be. There is one thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, riches should come when God is always first. Put your treasure in heaven, he tells in Matthew 6. Don't follow the crowd, Romans 12. He said, be subject to authority, Romans 13. Choose the best, Philippians 4. Work for God, not your boss. This is one of the things about it is, the best worker that a man ever has. One said, Lord, I'm working for this man, but I'm really working for you, and I'm going to work for you as hard as I can, and that will bless this man. But God, I'm working for you, not this man, but this man to see I'm working for you. That's what you see in the Old Testament patriarchs. That's what you see in Joseph. When you see him doing what he did in Potiphar's house, you see, these are things that God tells us. God is the first and foremost in all things that we do. Be subject to the authorities. Choose the best. Be faithful. Don't be enslaved. Treat your body as a God's temple, 1 Corinthians 6. Glorify God in everything, 1 Corinthians 10. Live by grace, not legalism, Galatians 5. Don't give Satan opportunities to infringe on your life, in Ephesians 4. Use your tongue to edify, not to destroy. Seek the good of others. Work hard, 1 Thessalonians 4. In fact, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, you have some folks need to understand that, don't we? Now, it's one thing you don't have a job. I understand that. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a work thing in Scripture that talks about that God has given us help, that we can work, and we should do just that. What I'm showing you, there's some things that are not thou shalt and thou shalt not, but the principles there. God said something that governs that particular phrase. So God expects us to use our mind to make good biblical judgment. God has given us a lot of information, folks. Not too long ago, I told you how many verses. How many verses in there? How many chapters? How many verses? How many actually words in this book? God has given us this for our information. He's given us a lot of information. Then why should he have to do anything else? Because without his help, we can't understand this information. Let me give you an example. Suppose you go swimming somewhere or another down off the Florida coast. Next time you go down that way and you get out a little ways and suddenly you see this little fin-like thing coming towards you. Now, I assume that you probably would assume quickly and evaluate the situation, that's got to be a shark. Now, the question is, what are you going to do? What would you do? Let me give you some options. You could say, you know, I'm going to ignore it. I'll just act like he's not even there. Yeah, and you've been in his stomach for long, probably, too. There are some people telling us, though, there's some things when you see harm, you don't just ignore it. Or you could say something like, you know, he's going to come to me. The best thing I can do is come up and show him, pet him. Show for sure there's no harm in me. We've been told that, too, aren't we? All I got to do, hey, I'll just pet him. Yeah? You know about what the consequences are. Well, another thing, you know, I can't. I don't know if I know what I'll do. I'll go to him, I'll kill him. Well, you're at odds in the water with a shark. No, I know what I do. I'll try my best to swim as fast as I can to the shore and hope I can outswim him. Now, you know, they can be options you can think about. It's obvious, though, some of those options are not wise. Petting him's not wise. I don't understand why people have alligators for pets, do you? You see it on the news the other night? A person had an alligator bigger than I am. Big thing. And he just roamed in the house free. Give me Tweety Bird anytime, amen. Can you imagine? My thought came, one night that person would be asleep and wake up with a leg gone or something. That's what's going to happen. But people have, you know, this is a free country. Whatever it is that one would do. But one thing is for sure, to not know anything about sharks might lead to a wrong decision, hadn't it? I know what most of us do. We try our best to get to safety. That's what it would be. Just evaluation. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 2 and 4, the Bible says they had some problems in the church, need some men to help the apostles, and they said, choose out men, not just any man. See how many you can find to help? No. They said, you choose out men that are literally honest, full of the Holy Spirit, good, who have good report to put over this particular place. We're showing decision to be made. You had to a guideline to go by, and these men had to fit that guideline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible said we get the mind of Christ when we study the Bible if after we're saved. To obey the Bible is always the right choice, but some things are not clearly addressed in the Bible. For instance, who to marry is not addressed in the Bible, but the characteristics of the one you marry is. We are not to be unequally yoked together, the Bible says. So when we look for someone to be a mate, if Bill was going to marry Mary, that means that Jack should not do the same. Well, you don't have the situation that where, whatever they may say. So this past week, I seen on the news that one fellow has now got one of those TV things with what, 6-7 wives? That's not Bible, folks. I don't care how much we try to change it. It's not Bible. I mean, live with all 6-7 of them at the same time. Well, maybe not the same. Well, about the same time. Amen. What I'm saying, that's not, you can't find that it's in the Bible. My college may not be your college. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to State or Carolina or Duke or Wake Forest, either one, to try to learn the Bible. That's just common sense. Where are you going, preacher? I'm going to be a preacher. Where are you going to Bible? I'm going to State and study the Bible. I know about what I get over there. And I, by the way, I went to State. I've been in Carolina. I'm for California, amen. What I'm saying, though, is that's the principle. That all these may be good college in the secular world, but I'm not going to go somewhere that don't even believe the Bible and try to teach me the Bible. You say, preacher, that's just a little oddball. Well, no, that's biblical. That's biblical. My church may not be your church, but the church ought to be a Bible-believing, God-fearing church. It ought to be a church that preaches this book. I mean this book, not a rewritten book. I mean this book. Some decisions are not life-changing decisions, though, while others are. I'm talking about trying to literally follow the will of God about our lives. When you think about these decisions that are not really in the Bible, but God gives principles, ladies and gentlemen, hear me closely. What you by heart is not a life-changing thing, but who you marry is. Come on now. Who I marry is. To eat grits and spinach and chitlins are not, chitlins may be, not life-changing things. But I'll tell you this, you eat box lye and you're going to change quickly. The principles are there. Gives us good sense. If you can't type, it's not a good, wise thing to go try to get a job typing unless you learn pretty fast. It is never a wise thing if you have never driven a car to go and try to apply for the Indianapolis 500 to drive one. It may seem stupid, but I'm telling you, God gives us, and by the way, a lot of things we do a lot stupider than that, what God says do or not do, or don't say give principle, and yet we go against the principles of God. If you don't know the difference between a hammer and a socket wrench, it'd be smart not to apply for a carpenter's job or a mechanic, unless you learn something. Are you with me? What I'm showing you, same with the principles of God, when it's what he has us to do. If you've got a weight problem, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, you should not eat an 8-pound chocolate rabbit at Easter time. It's just good principles. You say, that's right, preach secular. God's gave the same thing about serving him. He's given the same thing about our life spiritually, governs us spiritually, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We must be very careful how we seek solutions in life. And God gives us all that is needed to make good, godly decisions, correct decisions. How does God guide us? Number three, the Holy Spirit guides us in understanding the Bible and transforms us in the action and thought. We should say that we would be being transformed to be more like Christ. Be ye therefore transformed, Paul said in Romans 12:2. Not be conformed like the world. To make the right choice and the right decision. Now, God does not command us to ask human advice, but sometimes it's good. There are some things, if I'm going to do in this world, I can do it a lot faster and better if I ask to advise someone who's an expert at it. But God doesn't necessarily tell us to ask for human advice. But godly advice can always save us a lot of trouble. Godly advice can save us a lot of trouble. And you know as good as I do, wives, you agree to this. Most husbands don't like to ask for directions. And that's what it is. When you get advice, you're asking for a direction to do something, hopefully do it better. As many here would say, and with us men also, many heartaches and extra miles and strained relationships could have been avoided if we'd just asked for some directions. And when you get older, you see that more than ever before. Said, I got a GPA. Sometimes your wife, you still need to ask for some rights today. God said one time, UPS? You're listening. Amen. I like that feedback. Sometimes I wonder if you're listening or not. Sometimes I wonder if you're even alive or not. Amen. But you're listening. GPS. Amen. Or whatever you want to call it. Amen. I think the fellow said him out, he passed a place one time. I don't know if he said that or not. I went back. I know one thing, it'll talk to you when you miss your turn. He said, it said, fool, turn around. Oh, my. Well, anyhow, thank God Almighty for his instruction to us. We have. When it comes to us, though, it's true that we need direction spiritually. Sometimes it's good to ask advice. Proverbs 12, verse 15 said, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You don't go to a baker that makes bread and ask him about the moon. You go to one who's wise. Amen? You don't go to a preacher who tells you about what a... Amen. I've got your attention. That's important. How God guides us. You don't go to a person that's divorced 10 times to ask them about marriage either, by the way. Decision, decision, decision. God does not intend for us to be frozen in anxiety every time we have to make a choice. Yet all decisions should be made within principles that God has commanded. Now the question is to close is, how does this work? And I'll give an illustration. I want to do as simple as I can, Lord. How does this work? I'm talking about how does God guide us? I don't have any trouble with those thou shalt not. That's it. I told the folks Wednesday night, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I find in Genesis also, he formed man from the dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life. That's what I need. I don't need to look anywhere else. Talk about the Big Bang all you want to. That's all I need. That's what God said. Amen. Why worry myself about something else that man's created in his own mind and it never makes sense to start with? When God said something, it's settled. But there are some things, a principle there. And let me give you an example if I may. Let's suppose one day You go down the road and you hear something in your car and it begins to knock, like most of us have. And you make a statement like this, you know, you reckon I need a new car? Well, you can answer that, yes, and it won't cost you anything. Amen? Should I buy a new car or buy a secondhand one? Well, you can answer that either way. It won't cost you a thing. But then you get down and say, you know, should I buy a car? Yes. What kind of car? What should I buy? Should I buy a Mercedes-Benz or a little Ford? Should I buy a Cadillac or Pinto? Should I buy a top-of-the-line Volkswagen or smart car? By the way, I know what that is. I've seen one of those. What I'm saying to you, you got to make a decision. What you do now is going to cost you. Now, the question is then, how did I do this in the family of God? Now that I've come to the place, it didn't cost me anything to decide if I wanted to buy a car. It didn't cost me anything I decided to buy a car. It didn't cost me anything as far as if I decide what kind of car, except one thing. Now God must come into it. If I buy this car, will God be first? Or will I have put it to the side because I made something, I needed something, and got something more than I needed at this particular time? Is God first? Can I meet my requirements now before Him and take care of my family? My decision is I will buy where I have the greatest deal of freedom to still serve God. And that's a principle God sets in His Word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added, He said, in Matthew chapter 6. Just one example. Though I may have been foolish and disobedient in things in the past, I can know and do what God wants me to do today and tomorrow. And when I do that, I'm acknowledging what He says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Now, Israel didn't only just sing the song. That's a song I learned put many years ago to a tune. It reminds me God is first. If I have a need or think I have a need or even have a want, God is first. And if He's first, then I must accept the fact, whatever decision I make, He will guide me towards that which will let me have my need met, and He'll still be first. Are you with me, folks? I'm talking about how God guides us in this life. When I think about that, I realize that what God is saying in His Word, if I said everything thou shalt not do, you wouldn't have enough books to print it. But I'll lay some guidelines for you. We must be careful how we seek solutions in life and pray that God will help us be biblical-oriented. God gives us all that's needed to make correct decisions. The Holy Spirit guides us in understanding the Bible instructions. We need His help. We need His advice. We need His instructions. And hear me, the Holy Spirit will never guide us to leave God out. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And so any decision that I make, He will never, the Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit that God sent on the day of Pentecost to indwell every believer, to not leave us alone in this earth, pondering which way to go, gave us His Word, hides it in our heart. The Holy Spirit leads us the way that God would have us to go if we'll be honest with God. And I'll tell you this, He'll never leave God out of the decision. And He encourages us to do the same. Proverbs 25, verse 9 says, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His ways. The meek can be the wealthiest man in this world, and God can be first. And you've heard me talk about Dr. Anderson many, many times. Multi-millionaire. Never misses church. Speaks all over this country as a layman, up close to 90 years old, still going for the Lord. loves God. I've lost thousands of dollars, I've heard him say one time, contract, because Thursday night was not a visitation for his church. He goes to a church in Kentucky now, and he wouldn't miss visitation. Not just a church night, miss visitation. He wouldn't miss it because God was first. It's amazing what God's done through that man. When he gets to heaven, right now, God has blessed him in his old age that he's got men, missionaries he's supporting all over the world himself through his church. And every time that he supports, he said God had laid on his heart to put so many missionaries that he could help support himself in different places where missionaries are not at times. And it amazes me that to give an account, how many souls have been saved, and it just amazes me how God can give people wisdom to do things when they really learn what these verses say. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, if you hear you're not saved, by the way, radio or by the upstream of the website, if you're not saved, God's word is to you. He loves you so much that Jesus came and died for you so you could have life, have it eternal. Have life eternal to be with him forever. When time is gone, we'll be in the presence of God forever. The eternal life, the very life of God himself he gives to us in the new creation. What a joy that is. And he told us how to get it. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. By the way, there's no other formula. There's no other direction. Whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith coming here and hearing by the word of God. The word of God gives us understanding what to say. There's no other way except Jesus Christ. And when we have him, we have all that's needed to get us to heaven. But now, God didn't take us to heaven the day we got saved. There's a life he wants us to live. And he gives us principles, how he guides us along with his word. He gives many, thou shalt and thou shalt not. But he gives principles that can guide us. It depends on whether we want his will or our will. His way or our way. It depends on if it's centered around him or is it centered around me. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again for the word of God. Thank you for these people who gave their time to come this morning, Lord. I pray it not be wasted. I pray somehow or another that we'd hear from you in a way that God could be pleased and the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts. Lord, I needed this message to study it because I can get so tied up in things that I miss some things from time to time. And I need to hear from you on these things. Lord, there's many examples we could give in life. Many people here could give examples. Some of them could tell us some things that, you know, they went in a direction, it didn't work out. And God turned them around, put them in a different direction, and it worked out. Many times we experience exactly what you say. And I'm glad that you're a God who loves us. And sometimes when we come up short and make the wrong decision, you don't love us any less. Lord, I'm so glad that you love me if I'm a failure just as much as if I was not. You love me if I'm successful. That doesn't change. Your love for me doesn't change if I'm successful. It doesn't change if I'm a failure. Your love for me and your love for us, any person here this morning, it doesn't change towards them if there's failure. It doesn't change towards them if they're successful. God's love is as the strongest can be. It's agape love. It doesn't have to be in return. And yet God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for that today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.